everyone, my name's Mel and this is the She Dares podcast. There are no professional speakers on here, it's just me and the community to talk through the lessons that we've learned over the years. I initially created the podcast as a dare to myself because honestly I was a bit stuck in life and I'd forgotten how to move forward and have fun. Stepping out of your comfort zone is never easy, but we're here to help you navigate the journey. We share stories from like-minded women, and at the end of every episode I get challenged with a dare that I'd love for everyone to join me in doing. This week we're talking to Kathy Carey. She's a health and wellness expert for women over 40, and we talk the importance of nutrition and understanding your body, and we also go into perimenopause and what the symptoms are of that and how to look out for it. I personally went on a program with her where I talk about this in the episode in a bit more detail, but it's essentially changed my life and made me understand a lot more about what I'm putting in my body and why. So let's get her on the show. Hey Kathy, how are you?
Great. It's a beautiful morning here. How are you?
It looks super sunny. Yeah, I'm good. It's really nice to see you. Obviously, we've been talking a bit over the last months, so it hasn't been so long since I last saw you.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have to say I miss seeing more people in person. It's been a pretty crazy couple years.
Yeah, it has. But hopefully getting back to normal now. That's good. So thanks so much for being on the show. Obviously, you know what we do on She Dares. We're talking to inspiring women, and one of those inspiring women in my life is you. I wondered if you could share with the audience, a time where you stepped out of your comfort zone, or there was, you know, a really brave thing that you did in your life.
I think I've stepped out of my comfort zone a lot in my life, and every time it's scary, every single time, but it's also every single time liberating. You know, because I think that's where the growth happens, right? And I think the most recent time I would say is when I launched my brand Strong After 40, and I had left behind a very rewarding, amazing, long career to start something new. And so I was going to now introduce myself via social media and all the kinds of outlets that we have now today as this new thing to my global network. And I was just thinking, they're going to say, what is she doing? You know, and I was kind of worried about what they were going to think about that and what they were going to think about what I was doing. So that was really quite scary. But I will say the older that I have gotten, I get better at it each time, where I just say, as long as I do things with integrity and kindness and authenticity, everything's good.
I can totally resonate with that as well. Obviously launching with She Dares. So what were you doing, you know, before, and why do you think it was such a step out of your comfort zone to do that?
You know, it was quite a big departure. I think for people who know me, I've always been interested in health and wellness. I was in sports my whole life, and then also I started doing group fitness in college. So that was in the like early 90s, right? So this is something that's always kind of been a thread throughout my life in different ways. But my previous career was basically representing other brands on a global scale. And this time I was going to represent my own brand, but in a very different way, because after I worked for other companies and design schools, I did start my own consulting company sort of related to that career. But this was like a complete departure. Like leaving that behind and really stepping into the world of wellness full time. So for people who didn't know that about me, this would have been like a sort of a really big surprise. And because I support women over 40, this messaging around like perimenopause and all the things that happen to women after 40, I think some of my network were just going to be surprised that I was sort of taking this route. So it was a little bit scary at the same time. You know, it's fine. Like I said, if you do things with integrity and kindness, I think everything works out.
What would be the symptoms of perimenopause? I think I might be experiencing some things, so I want to check.
You know, it's really interesting. Everybody's body is different, and many people can experience this in a different way. And like, so it is like the 8 to 10 years before you actually go into menopause. Menopause is when you haven't had a period for one full year. That's when you are officially in menopause. But there will be different things that you experience. And some people say, you know, whatever your mother experienced, maybe that's something that you will experience. But I don't think that's true completely, because it depends on your lifestyle choices as well. But I think like fatigue, headaches, foggy brain, weight gain in the midsection, especially trouble sleeping, could have low libido, skin changes, sensitivities to certain foods just out of nowhere, not being able to sort of metabolize caffeine or alcohol as well as you used to be able to, not being able to manage your blood sugar as well as you were able to before. And some of these things can really be managed through lifestyle and nutrition choices and exercise. And I don't know if I mentioned all of them, but a lot of people have trouble sleeping. Trouble sleeping is a big one.
Is hair loss a symptom?
Yeah, some women will start have like thinning of their hair and things like that. However, you should also like go in every year to have your nutrient levels checked, your thyroid checked, because sometimes that can be related to your thyroid. So there, you should go in and have like a full panel and speak with your healthcare provider and like just get those baselines so you know where you are. A lot of women are low in vitamin D, in vitamin B. Magnesium is a big one, which can also be really helpful for anxiety and stress. So there's some things that you can actually, if you have some nutrient deficiencies, I think the best thing to do is to take care of that through whole food nutrition, but you may also need to supplement those things. And some people will see a major difference just by getting their vitamin D levels and taking some magnesium. They will see a major difference just with those things alone.
Okay. So if anyone's kind of having those kind of symptoms that you mentioned, go get your bloods checked, probably at the doctor, just get all your levels checked and then see if there's any deficiencies with vitamins, stuff like that, and then start looking at nutrition.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing is that moving your body is so key. And obviously then all these things hopefully help you sleep better. If you get your nutrition right and you're moving your body, hopefully you start to sleep better. Hopefully these are things that can take your stress level down. I mean, all these things are connected, like, you know, they're just a ripple effect. But I think that, you know, making these lifestyle changes will have a huge amount of impact on what's going on with women. And maybe you will really sail through. Maybe you will just, you know, have an easier time. Everybody's different, like I said. But I do believe that everybody will benefit from making these lifestyle changes. And in the exercise point, I'll just make this point, is that in addition to any kind of exercise you enjoy, whether that's running or walking or rowing or swimming, all of these things are beautiful, is to add some kind of strength training in, because we start to lose muscle after the age of 30 and we have to worry about like bone density and things like this. But if we do these weight-bearing strength training exercises, we will manage our blood sugar levels better. We will be burning calories at rest, which I think people would enjoy. And we will also sleep better. So I think strength training is so important. I know this is daunting and overwhelming for some women, but there are some things that you can do, even 10 minutes a day, 3 times a week, and like this will make a huge impact.
So why strong after 40?
Well, when I moved back from Austria, I was like, should I start up my consulting business again? Should I tweak my website and just make some changes and start reaching out to my network? And then I thought, you know, I'm in my late 40s. I felt like if I really wanted to pivot, now was the time. And I do believe that you can pivot any time in life, but I just felt like it was the time now. And also I think what was happening was I was starting to experience these perimenopause symptoms, which is like the 8 to 10 years before you go into menopause. And because I had been healthy, I thought, wow, how can this happen? And what do I have to do to even, you know, tweak things a little bit more so that I can feel my best as I go into my 40s, 50s, 60s? Because I do believe that a lot of women start thinking we wind down after 40, we wind down after 50. And I just didn't want to, you know, I just didn't want to go there. And so I started to think, I want to be strong after 40 and beyond. And so strong really isn't just about lifting weights or how far can I run and things like that. But it's about how do I be strong mentally, physically, and spiritually? And what is it going to take to get there? So I started to do all these things for myself. It was kind of my own research. And I got, I'm a board certified integrative nutrition health coach. I'm also certified as a fitness instructor, and I'm also certified in exercise nutrition. So I did all those things to learn for myself. And then after all those things were put into practice and started to really work and make a difference in my energy levels and how I slept and all these things, I thought, I want to share this with other women. And so that's when I launched the brand.
I think there's a lot of women out there that want to find their passion in something, and quite often like searching over and over to, you know, see what they love or what they do. And it's really interesting, you know, how you said actually you've always had health and fitness throughout your life, but just through inquiry and wanting to be better in yourself, feel better, understand your body a bit better, you've created this totally new brand from it, just because you started to see the benefits and then you just wanted to spread it and share with others.
I think too, you know, a lot of times we have these passions, you know, as people, we have these passions, and sometimes we don't realize that these passions can actually be what we do for a living as well. And it is scary, you know, sometimes to think, okay, how am I going to make it and how am I going to build this out? But I think, you know, when you have some really amazing people sprinkled throughout your life who sort of have this impact on you, you know, from my mother to my husband, who are two of the greatest supporters anyone could ever have, and how lucky am I, to a previous coworker who really just showed me that we can infuse creativity in not only how we work, but how we live. And that was like a really impactful relationship that just made me always embrace things and know that I will always land on my feet.
That's really important as well, to have supporters in your life, because, you know, you can almost be your own worst enemy sometimes and talk yourself into something, but equally talk yourself out of something.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so funny because I think I told you this before. It's like, you know, you get this idea and you think it's brilliant. You're like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to do this. And then you think about it too much and then you kill the idea. Who wants to hear this? Oh, maybe it's not good enough. Somebody else does it better. And this whole comparison thing that happens with everybody. And the thing is if you just, and this is where anxiety kicks in for me. It's this thing of stuck energy, this thing of stuck idea, not acting upon something that's, you know, in alignment with my flow, you know? So I think what I try to do now is idea, action, idea, take action, you know, because as soon as you start thinking, just like you said, you become your worst enemy. So,
yeah, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's so key, because that's exactly how this podcast came about. I talked about it for 2 years. I talked myself into it. I talked myself out of it. I talked to people, they were supporting me. And then I was like, you know what? I just got to do it. And it was unplanned. And, you know, in the end, I was like, I'm just going to do it. And that is the best way to learn whether you enjoy something or you don't. You know, just do it, try.
It's true. Also, I don't know about you, but like sort of this anxiety situation kicks up when we know we want to do something, but we don't approach. And as soon as you do it, it almost kind of quells that anxiety. I don't know if you had the same experience, but
definitely do. So what decisions do you think led you to where you are today?
You know, I think that what's really incredible to me is that most chronic illnesses can be traced back to poor lifestyle choices. And I thought, how empowering is that, to know that each of us has so much control in our own hands over our health? Now, of course, it doesn't mean we can control everything, right? But we can set ourselves up for our healthiest, most vibrant life by these lifestyle choices. So for me, what I wanted to do was to support women in making those lifestyle choices, and also to help them like create a healthy lifestyle and habits that they could sustain through the rest of their life. And that's sort of why I became really passionate. I'm like, we have so much power in our own hands. And with the pandemic in the last couple of years, we really saw how important it was to be our healthiest self and to like make sure that our immune system was on high and to take care of our mental health and all these kinds of things. So it really kind of cranked up the fact that this is so important for us to do. And so I think that's kind of what led me to wanting to share everything with women. There's little tweaks that you can make in a few different areas of your life. And I think it's stress, sleep, nutrition, exercise, and connection. And connection has to do with both personal relationships and professional relationships and connection with ourselves. Those are sort of what I consider the five pillars of health. And if we address those, I know it sounds like a lot, but we take small steps and then we build from there. But if we address those five sort of key pillars, I just think that we can all live a much more vibrant, aligned life.
It can be that simple, just by taking like one small step. I think that's the common thread throughout, you know, it doesn't need to be this big whole change. And as you kind of pointed out, five pillars, if you just change one of those things in one of those pillars as a start, can be quite an impactful change already.
Absolutely. I mean, each pillar kind of has a ripple effect to the other pillars, you know? And like you said, you know, I think a lot of people don't start on their health journey because it's kind of overwhelming. They're like, oh, I got to change everything I eat and I got to do this and I got to exercise for, you know, so many hours a week. But really, that's not true. I mean, there's small things that you can start changing, like even just starting to walk regularly or starting to drink more water. Or like really setting up your bedroom as this really oasis at night that you want to go to that's not cluttered or filled with the television or whatever it might be. But I just think there's really little sort of tweaks that we can make. And then as those things start working and we start to see the value in them, then we might go on to the next tweak, whatever that might be. So really, it's just about building these small habits, things that we know and feel good that we can do consistently. And then once that's sort of established, then you just kind of build from there.
I think our culture has kind of created this thing where we just want like one pill to like fix us all, right? We wanted like one diet pill, or we wanted, you know, one pill just to make us happier just on this week or whatever. We just want an instant fix. And actually, after going through what I've gone through with you, you know, in the last month, 2 months, I almost feel like it's a quick fix now. It wasn't at the beginning, and you know, it was a bit of a change, but actually now it's super easy because I've just made that change. So yeah, but more about that later.
You just opened up the curtain a little bit and saw behind the scenes and you're like, oh, it's not as bad as I thought back there, you know. But
yeah,
I think also what people, you know, need to understand is with every sort of drug comes side effects. Now, sometimes we can't avoid taking something if we have a medical condition, and you know, that's completely valid and we should definitely take care of our health and work with our healthcare provider for that. But there are things that have this ripple effect and side effects that potentially you can do some lifestyle changes instead of that, potentially. So just to know that.
Has there been a common thread through the women that you've coached? Have most of them come to you with like stress or like feeling ill all the time or something like that? Or is it completely mixed?
Stress is definitely a big one. And as I shared with you, when we're stressed all the time, it actually puts almost the digestive system on hold as it takes care of everything else, which causes all these digestive problems and different things like this. I think also women just, there's a lot of fatigue. Fatigue can come from stress, you know, when you really got that wheel going in the mind all the time, you're like running this marathon, you're constantly in fight or flight. So I think there's stress, there's fatigue, and then just not feeling your best, body composition changes. I think there's a lot of sugar addiction out there. I think this is a main thread. And I think it's also just not understanding what our body needs as our hormones start changing so that we can kind of try to keep those hormones balanced. And how we get our like macronutrients and micronutrients right for our body. Everybody's different. Everybody's unique and needs different things, right? But I think stress and fatigue are two big ones, and also a sugar thread.
Sugar for me was crazy. Like I did not really believe the whole sugar is super dangerous and super bad for us. I was like, because I eat a lot of sweets. And then I gave up drinking and drank tonic water with a non-alcoholic gin, and I had the worst sugar hangover. It was awful. It was so, so bad. And now I really notice the change when I have sugar and when I don't, and the energy levels. That's really surprising. And I think I really recommend anyone to try cutting out sugar for a bit.
Yeah, I think the other thing we found with you, and again, there was something in that tonic water that wasn't working for you, which we found, but that some people don't feel their best, and what they don't sort of trace that back to is sometimes we have food sensitivities that we're unaware of There's certain things in our diet that we are very sensitive to and we're unaware. Like, for example, for me, it's garlic. If I eat a lot of garlic, I will wake up in the night with a stomach that is just turning. Like, it's so painful, it wakes me out of a sleep. But I didn't know that. You know, it's really interesting. I think also if we just tune in and become more aware of sort of what we're eating, how it makes us feel, and see if we see any patterns there and just kind of start to understand what things may not make us feel our best. But these food sensitivities can really cause havoc on the body, causes this low level chronic inflammation that people are not aware of, which can cause achy joints and headaches and foggy brain and, you know, things like that, and cause you not to sleep so well. So there's these things that if we identify them and remove them, you will feel better. So it's kind of amazing.
It is kind of amazing. And it is kind of addictive as well, like to learn about those things. It's surprising that I say that now, but it is. So was there any moment either creating Strong After 40 or even before that where you were like, no, I don't know, this is not really for me anymore?
You know, there was a couple times where it was not really for me, but these were quite some time ago. I would say one was when I had to wear a suit when I first started working, and I just got to the point where I was living in Colorado and passing people riding their bikes to the climbing area and things like this. And that's when I said, this isn't for me. And I took all my suits and put them in a bag and put them out in the storage unit in Breckenridge in the middle of winter. And when I went back, they were like an ice sculpture. And I'm like, that's fine, because I'm never going to wear those again. So that was one thing. And then I think the other thing is I was up at a wedding and I was working this job. And it was the same thing. I just said, I just don't want to do this anymore. I'm surrounded by a bunch of narcissistic people who are not aligned with my values. And I just can't work in this toxic environment. So I quit that job. And those are two pivotal moments. I think what I realized was I always will land on my feet. If something doesn't feel good, if it's toxic, you know, I know we all need to make money, right? And things like that so that we can, you know, pay for our bills. But at the same time, if something is so toxic that it's causing you, you know, stress, or you're just not aligned with, you know, your values, for me, I got to get out of there. And that's just what happened. And I just realized I will always land on my feet, and I always need to be somewhere surrounded by people that I appreciate and that I feel appreciated by.
That's really cool. Do you think you needed to, or you knew your kind of core values then, like when you decided that you weren't going to wear the suits and stuff? Because I think, you know, when you're younger, you grow up and you're always trying to fit into different environments, right, all the time. And you're trying to figure out who your tribe is. And for me, for example, I don't think I really realized what my kind of core values were until about 2-3 years ago. And so I think it's probably easier for some people to go, nah, I'm walking away from that, see you later, than it is for others. And it sounded, the way that you described it, it sounded quite easy for you to go, these are not my people, I'm not going to do it.
You know, it's really interesting. Somehow I've always had this internal fire. I don't know. I think I credit that back to my mom and both of my grandmothers for some reason. But I always knew, interestingly enough, that honesty and integrity were a core value. And it was, I couldn't bear to be anywhere where I was surrounded by people that didn't embrace those things. That to me has always been a thread. And I just feel like if we're not all on the same page and rowing in the same direction, this is just not for me. Like, I don't want to swim against the grain, you know. I will swim against the grain if there's some change to be made, and it can be made, and we can get there, and we can, you know, come to some kind of an agreement somehow. But if you're just swimming against the grain all the time, I mean, how exhausting is this, right? So I think those core values were always there. But, you know, I think we always discover more core values as we have experiences in life. And then we realize what's not for us, you know, and we continue to do that. But those couple of things of integrity and honesty and open-mindedness and inclusivity, those kinds of things were always core values for me.
I mean, taking that back kind of to the food and the nutrition, your body tells you, right? Your body and your mind always kind of tell you when something's not right. It's just how we've grown up to listen or to ignore that.
No, it's true. And you know, it's funny. I think this is so interesting about what's happening in the world right now. I think most people are ignoring, like, listening to themselves. There's so much noise, you know? There's so much noise in the world, and going back to, like, social media and, like, putting yourself out there and stuff like that, for me, was this whole comparison thing too, right?
We call it comparisonitis.
Oh yeah, it is comparison. And it's paralyzing too, right? But for me, like, you know, you think about when, you know, people start to sort of follow your message and it makes you feel good, or and then maybe somebody doesn't follow your message, or they leave or whatever. And the thing is you just got to understand that you only want the people to stay that really resonate with you and that really see the value in what you're providing. And I've just gotten much better with that. It's like, I feel good about what I share. I'm sharing things because I want women to invest in their health. And, you know, if you want to embrace that, great. And if you don't, then I'm not for you, and that's okay.
Would you have done anything differently? Or is there anything that you regret?
There's always things you would do differently, right? And I'm a bit of a perfectionist, I have to say. And that's something that I'm, like, working to let go of sometimes, you know, because that's also paralyzing if you really stick to that. But I think there's always things that I could have done better or differently. But at the same time, would I change that? Probably not, because those experiences and those things are what sort of gets us to the place that we are today, right? I know you hear that from everybody, but it's so true. I mean, you learn from those things, and sometimes they're hard lessons, you know? At the same time, you just got to realize I learned from those things. And so would I do stuff differently? Yeah, for sure. I mean, more efficiently, less painfully, but at the same time, less painfully. But I think at the same time, we arrive at this place and we're sort of a compilation of all those things, good and bad, you know? And I think that's where growth happens too, right? Again, that's where the growth happens.
Exactly. I think half the time when I've been, like, almost in tears, just going, I can't do this, is when you've come out the other side and, you know, it's been amazing.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what this quote was exactly, but David Bowie had this quote about how when you're operating in a space that it's, you're just, your feet are kind of just barely touching the ground, that is where, like, the magic and the creativity happens. You're a little bit over your head. I mean, you have to have some kind of knowledge base, right? But you're a little bit over your head, and that is exactly where the magic happens. And I always think of him saying this because it is so true.
Yeah, totally. And someone said to me a while ago, and I don't know if I brought it up on the podcast, but the maximum point of fear is always just before you do something. So if that's the maximum point, then why not go? You know, why not just actually then do it, because it will feel so much better afterwards.
It's true. And you know, it's funny for me, like, let's say something's 3 days out and I'm really kind of nervous about it, right? And what's interesting is the closer I get to it, the more I lean into it. It happens every time, you know? You got that anxiety on high if something's a week out or 3 weeks, you know, out, or even 2 days out. But as soon as it starts to get where it's like 24 hours, or it's 12 hours, or it's 2 hours, I start sort of leaning into it. And it happens every time. And it's really interesting. I also think too that once we lean into it and we just sort of do it and just let this sort of authentic things start happening, it's just, I don't know, I think that's where it's just magical. You know, you just got to lean into it.
Yeah. The journey that I've taken with you, so how it actually started, obviously me and Kathy knew each other from before. We met in Austria, actually, through a job. But throughout the series, throughout series one, I was given a multitude of dares. One of those was going vegan. Another one was also doing a topless photo shoot where, you know, I kind of looked at my body in a different way because we were talking about a very important topic, which was breast cancer. And it got me thinking about all of the times that I'm sick and how I'm potentially not looking after my body in the best possible way. And I reached out to Kathy and was like, I know absolutely the person to help me here. And we went on a journey for about 2-3 months, I think it's been, where, yeah, she helped me understand a bit more about food, but also we went on a cleanse, a 3-week cleanse, helped me understand the importance of what you're actually putting in your body, the fibers, the amount of sugar, processed food. And I went on this 3-week cleanse, and it was tough to begin with, not as tough as I thought, but you know, it was kind of having a smoothie in the morning, a soup for dinner, and then having kind of a salad at lunch. No sugar, no alcohol, no coffee, no garlic. But the effects that I felt were, you know, actually amazing. Now that I look back, I can say, like, when it actually happened, I didn't necessarily feel like this aha, wow moment. But then when I went back to the bad food occasionally, then I was like, oh, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to feel like this anymore. I'm going to go back to putting healthy, nutritious foods in my body, and also really colorful, beautiful, raw foods. And I actually started to learn to cook much more. I've been in the kitchen, you know, and enjoying that process. And I've definitely seen a huge benefit, and I've been less sick, which has been incredible. You know, I can only recommend to other women to really start thinking about this, especially as you're getting older. So, you know, I'm over 40 and probably perimenopausal now. You know, your hormones are up and down all over the place, and you know, if you start early enough to understand what your body needs and when, then yeah, I think you'll be in a much better place.
I do think that the earlier the better. Yeah. And I also think even for women under 40 who like suffer from like maybe tough PMS and things like that, I mean, we're talking about hormones and balance, trying to balance those hormones as much as we can. And also the things that you shared with me that I mean, it just thrills me when you said you just have a more positive outlook, and that you just, you know, the aches and pains that you would get from, you know, riding your bike and things like that, like those things weren't happening, and the headaches. I mean, this to me, it was like a total win, and I'm just was so excited for you. So yeah, I just think it's amazing for people to do this cleanse and remove everything and just see what happens. I mean, it takes down that inflammation, that low level inflammation that we were talking about. It's chronic. I mean, most people are walking around with low level chronic inflammation and they don't know.
That's one thing that I really didn't know about, like inflammatory oils. So, you know, fried foods, stuff like that. Of course, we know that it's, you know, not great for you, but the different types of oils that you can use, and you can get like all your omega-3s and like, you know, your good fats and stuff from other sources. That was amazing to me, because like literally every time I went out on my road bike, I would get really, really bad neck pain. And everyone who rode a bike was like, yeah, you'll get that from road biking. After doing this cleanse, I went out, didn't have it at all. I felt fine.
Absolutely. And you know, the other thing, when we said the positive outlook, I just want people to know that when our gut is healthy, our brain is healthier, because we have this vagus nerve that runs from the gut to the brain. There's this gut-brain connection. And if people have a lot of anxiety, which believe me, I, you know, struggle with anxiety, is that when our gut is really happy and has the nutrition that it needs and doesn't have that inflammation, the brain can sort of calm down too, and the anxiety comes down and things like that. So people don't realize there's that connection. And the oils, I love that you say that, like fried food, when you go out to a restaurant, just think about this. They heat that up over and over and over and put all kinds of different things into that fryer. And it's just over this oxidation. I mean, for me, like fried food is a no-go. Yeah, I just think that that's something that, you know, people aren't really thinking of when they think what's going on back there in that restaurant, you know? So, and they use the cheapest oils they can find, right? They use the cheapest oils, and they're inflammatory.
Not to alienate everyone, but like I did and I still do like fried food, but now it's about just making different choices. So I'm not going to eat fried foods 3 days a week kind of thing, you know, and out at a restaurant, you know, I might have fried food at home, shallow fried food, because I know the oil that I'm going to use instead of going to a restaurant. And it's just also a thing that you introduced me to was healthy swaps. So you can have a dish that you absolutely love, but you can swap out white rice, for example, with cauliflower rice or zucchini noodles or something like that, which is super important. That is that small thing, just a small step. Doesn't have to be everything.
The other thing with you is you love to have like Asian food, but sometimes if you use these sort of pre-prepared sauces or these like seasoned cubes, you got to look at what's in those. So maybe sometimes making a little bit of a healthier sauce can make a big difference, but you can still eat that. And I think also everything's in moderation. I don't think anything is a good food and a bad food. I think that it's just in moderation. If you love something, nobody's going to say, give this up. Maybe you can do a healthy swap, or maybe you just do it once a week, or maybe you just do it when you're on vacation. I don't know what it is, but I think that everything in moderation. And if for some reason you kind of start, you know, going down this road of adding like in more sugar over time, you just have to say to yourself, you know what, I'm not going to do that tomorrow then. And it's just kind of getting back on it. It's like, don't feel bad about yourself. Don't beat yourself up about stuff, and do things in moderation so that you can actually enjoy your life. Like, you want to enjoy your life, you know? I also think just one thing I want to say back to what you said about healthy fats. A lot of people don't get enough healthy fats and omega-3s. And these are the things that are really important for hormone health, brain health, and cellular health. And people don't understand that. The olive oils, the avocados, the raw unsalted nuts and seeds, things like that, that they don't get in there. And so it's just really important to make sure that you get some good healthy fats in your diet. Not a ton, but just to get some.
I can highly recommend a very good smoothie in the morning for anyone who's busy and on the go. It's like changed my life. I love it.
Nice. I love that. So Mel sent me a note, I think early on, I don't remember. She's like, I don't know what you were doing. You're like, I'm missing that smoothie, or I'm really loving these smoothies. I mean, to me, like, you know, the food nerd that I am, I was like so excited. I'm like, oh my God, look at what she just wrote to me, you know? So like, I'd love to see that change in people where they like say, oh, this is really working for me and I really enjoy this, you know?
Who knew avocado and spinach in a smoothie would be amazing? It is. It's delicious.
You know, it's funny. One thing, I'm glad you say that, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to make a smoothie, it's so healthy, and they jam in a bunch of fruit, you know, and it's like, this is a sugar bomb. This is a spike your blood sugar situation. And when you put in a low amount of sugar and fruit, and fruits like berries are lower in sugar than like a banana or something like that, but you also add in this fiber from the avocado and from the spinach, and also this healthy fat from the avocado. But anyway, it slows down that blood sugar spike and it keeps you full longer. So like, that's sort of the reason why. So yeah, no more all fruit smoothies.
If anyone wants to do the smoothie, I put in now turmeric. By the way, wear gloves because you'll get yellow hands. First time I'd ever put turmeric in anything. You can put a bit of ginger in. Spinach, half an avocado, it's just a handful of spinach, some protein powder, flax seeds, chia seeds, almond milk, bit of water, and some blueberries.
And the one thing on that too is that Mel and I talked about how like her almond milk would be unsweetened because you're going to use the fruit for that. And then also the protein powder, to really look at what's in your protein powder so that you're getting a really clean protein powder with no sugar added.
So, as you know, everyone who comes on the show as a guest gets to give me a dare to push me. And I mean, I've benefited so much, and I hope the listeners have also been taking on these dares to go on this journey with me. Have you come up with a dare for me?
I have, and you know it's going to be health related.
I kind of figured it might be, yeah.
So I am daring you to add strength training into your exercise routine. And because I know I have either a day or a week, I'm going to challenge you to a week and every other day for that week. And I'm going to give you, and I can give this to you after, but is 3 moves, 3 times through, 10 reps each. So you'll be able to get, 4 days in the week of doing these, and hopefully they will become contagious and you will integrate those into your life.
I got on the bike this morning, just my indoor trainer, and I thought of you as I saw my weight in the corner of the room. I've got like this dumbbell thing, and I was like, yeah, I could do some. I don't really have time. I'm not gonna, but I'll do it next time.
Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah. Okay. It's a good day. Can you give me the exercises now?
So I'm thinking that we'll do a squat to press, which is a squat with dumbbells, and then you stand up and you do a shoulder press. Then we'll do push-ups. I think push-ups are amazing, whether you can do them full on up or down on your knees. Just make sure that the form is good. So either way, just make sure that your form is good. And then the last one will be walking lunges with weights in your hands. So you'll walk one way across the room and back across the room. So three times through, and I'll send this to you, but three times through each of the three exercises and 10 reps of each. So it'd be five times back and forth with the lunges.
Perfect. We'll put it in the show notes as well. So anyone that wants to follow along, please do.
Perfect.
Great. Thanks so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it. And so much useful information for everyone out there. Where can people find you online?
So they can find me on my website. It's strongafter40.com or on Instagram at strongafter_40.
Okay, so Kathy's given me the three tasks to do, and it's a three-move circuit, three times through, so 8 to 10 reps each. The first one is squat to overhead press with dumbbells. Number two is push-ups, so good form for best results on toes or on knees. Probably do on knees because I haven't done push-ups for a while. Number three is alternating forward lunges with a bicep curl with dumbbells. So I lunge forward with the back knee close to the ground and curl, stand up and then switch legs. Sounds good. Okay, it's day one and I'm just looking on YouTube just to see the correct form to see how to do the squat to shoulder press. So I think it's dumbbell, squat to shoulder press. Let's check here.
And triceps. Hold a pair of dumbbells just outside your shoulders with your arms bent and palms facing your ears. Stand tall with your feet shoulder width apart.
So I have absolutely no idea why I only have one dumbbell of each size. That makes no sense whatsoever, but somewhere in storage there might be more. But I'm going to pop out and grab another 3 kilogram one so that I can do it correctly. Starting the forward lunge and bicep curl. Alternating. Oh, I've got very little balance. I'm like all over the shop. What am I doing? Oh, okay, so just finished my third day? Yeah, I think so. So it takes about 15, 20 minutes or so it's not so bad, but it sounds so ridiculous. Like 15, 20 minutes a day is nothing. But just taking that time out to do it, you need to have a routine. And I'm not really a big fan of routines, but I'm going to try and do this every morning. So wish me luck. Oh, so I'm doing the full... Oh, hold on a sec. I'm doing the full push-ups on my toes now because it's the last day and I'm in my third set. Oh. Four more to go. All in all, that was pretty good. I'm feeling a bit stronger for sure. And I think 15 minutes is really not a long time at all, every single day. And if you just set yourself a task and just do it first thing in the morning, like I think, you know, James Clear talks about atomic habits. And if I tag it on to something that I do every day, which is have a shower in the morning, I could just do it before I have a shower and then it's done and then I don't have to think about it anymore. So here's my challenge to all of you. Can you do 3 sets of a 3-round circuit? Check out the show notes and see which tasks that I did and then check out the reel on Instagram. And yeah, let's get stronger and fitter together. If you want to check out how the dare went down, there's a reel on Instagram for every single one of them. Follow us at _shedares and let me know if you decide to do any of them with me. I'd love to see what you get up to.